Ephesians 4:30. God has got a goal in our life. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. And if we are Christians, we need to understand His purpose. In the Old Testament, God's purpose for man was totally earthly. He gave them a land physically. He gave them material blessings. He gave them many children, a lot of cattle, and overcame their physical enemies. He asked for 10% of their material things He gave them to teach them to put Him first. He asked them for physical sacrifices of bulls and goats. He told them to build a physical tabernacle and then a temple. Everything from beginning till end of the entire Old Covenant history was physical, material, earthly. There was no spiritual healing, only physical healing. When He said, "I am the Lord your healer," that meant physical healing, that's all. Now that's a great thing for some people who remain spiritually sick, because they don't realize that the smallest sin, like telling a lie, is worse than getting AIDS. You think there are many people in the world who believe that? You think there are many Christians who believe that? I don't think so. I haven't met many who believe that even telling a small lie is worse than getting AIDS. I wish there were. Because if there were, we would have more Christians who enter the new covenant. And that to me is one of the clearest proofs that most Christians, even believers, have not entered the new covenant, because they still consider sickness as worse than sin. I believe that anybody who thinks that sickness is worse than sin is really under the old covenant, or probably no covenant at all. It's one way you can test yourself to see, you know, we've spoken much about the new covenant in this church, and one way you can test yourself whether it's all just head knowledge or whether you're entering into it is, ask yourself, are you disturbed by sin more than sickness? I mean, would a guilty conscience disturb you more than if the doctor said you've got, you know, cancer that cannot be cured? I want to live like that, that one small prick of my conscience disturbs me more than if a doctor told me you've got incurable cancer. And I believe that's the test of whether all that we hear in this church is just theory or whether it's become real in our life. God had a goal in the Old Testament. It was 100% earthly. He never promised them anything in heaven. He never promised them eternal life. He promised them earthly blessings if they obeyed. And the more wholehearted they were in obeying God, the more they got earthly riches and earthly blessings and prosperity and many things like that. The whole thing turned for something far better when Jesus came. He's promised us, not only promised us, after Jesus ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit was sent down, we read in Ephesians 1:3 that He has blessed us with every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And here's another way by which you can test whether you've really understood the new covenant and entered into it. Can you honestly say that with all of your heart you value heavenly riches more than earthly riches? If so, God bless you, brother, sister. You're pretty almost certainly in the new covenant. If in addition to that you can say that you're pursuing heavenly riches more than earthly riches, boy, you're blessed. You've entered into the new covenant. A lot of us may understand these things and even talk about it, but it's all theory. And I want to say to you, when you stand before the Lord, don't have regret that all these wonderful truths we heard just entered your clever mind and never descended into your heart to become part of your life. So God has got a goal in the new covenant also. And that goal is described, we have seen it many times in Romans 8:29, is to make us like Jesus Christ. He chose us before the worlds were created, not to take us to heaven, not to make us rich on earth, not even to make us healthy. He'll make us sick, allow us to be sick, if that will make us more like Jesus. That's not God's will. God's will for us is perfect health. I believe that. Proof, Jesus Christ was never sick. But sometimes even a wholehearted brother like Paul needed a little sickness, which he called a thorn in the flesh, because he was in danger of something, of getting proud and losing God's grace. And so when God saw, shall I allow this chap to lose my grace or lose a little bit of his health, God said, let him lose a little bit of his health. That's not serious. I don't want him to lose grace. And sometimes God does that with his servants even today. But he never needed to do it with Jesus, because Jesus was so radical, wholehearted, to always give the glory to the Father. He would pray and heal the sick and do miracles, and then he would rush off to the wilderness and give the glory to the Father. There are very few people who are wholehearted like that. But if a person is wholehearted, he doesn't need to be sick, because that's God's will. But basically, God's will is to make us like Jesus. And if sickness will help us to become a little more like Jesus, God does it, even for Paul. If a little financial struggle will help us to make us a little more like Jesus, to trust the Father, God will allow it. But that's not God's basic will. Sometimes he permits certain things because he sees us going astray. It's like giving us a little spanking, a little chastening. But a new covenant Christian is one whose goal is the same as God's. That means you're kicking the ball in the same direction. You know how everybody in one team in a football game kicks the ball in the same direction. And even if the forward passes it to the quarterback, halfback, he's passing it only because he wants to go to the goal. He's got one goal in mind, is I've got to put that ball through those goalposts. And that's how God, he's got a goal in our life. And all that zigzagging and dribbling and everything else that you see in hockey and football is ultimately get to that goal. And everything that God does in our life is ultimately to get us to the goal of becoming like Christ. That's his goal. And when he asks us to share this wonderful message with others, and if they accept Christ, his goal for them also is to make them like Christ. God wants to populate heaven with a whole lot of people who behave like Jesus Christ, who conduct their lives like Jesus lived on earth, because that's God's standard. And to start us off on that, he forgives all our past sins, blots out our past, looks at us as if we've never sinned. What a wonderful way to start. I come to the starting line of the Christian life, Christian race, absolutely clean. And you need to feel clean. That's why you need to believe God's word, which says you're declared righteous in God's eyes. And I never get tired of saying that, because I find far too many Christians living under guilt and condemnation and discouragement and gloom. I don't believe a Christian is ever supposed to be in a bad mood one day of his life. I made that a goal in my life, that I would never be in a bad mood one day of my life. And God's helped me. And make that your goal, and it'll become your goal. If you sort of surrender to the devil and say, oh well, once in a while in this world you've got bad moods, I can prophesy you'll have bad moods and you'll get more and more of them. If you think that the devil is more powerful than Jesus Christ, then you better resign yourself to a grumpy, anger-ridden, lust-ridden Christian life. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is more powerful than the devil, that you've surrendered your life to Christ, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead comes into you through the Holy Spirit, can lift you up from all the spiritual debt there is in the world. If you can believe that, God will do miracles in your life. You don't have to be a believer of 45 years or 50 years, a believer. You can be born again yesterday. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the resurrection life of Jesus lift you up from all that is of debt in this world, including the pursuit of wealth and honor and pleasure and everything else. God will give you enough for your needs. He'll make sure you don't get too much that destroys you. Thank God for that type of control. You know how in many machines that operate Particularly, I remember in the Navy, we had these boilers that used to run the ship. There's a pressure gauge. And they got to always make sure it doesn't become too much. Because if it gets too much, it can explode. A lot of gadgets have that. Your water heaters have that type of thing. Something that regulates, that it doesn't get too hot and blow up the whole thing. Isn't that good? Wouldn't you have, well, what would you do if you have that mechanism not working in your water heater? Blow it up. God also makes sure that you don't get too much money, lest it blow you up. Isn't that good? I say, praise the Lord. Otherwise, the same thing can happen to you that can happen to that water heater blowing up. So, God keeps that pressure needle always in the safe area. It never gets into red. Everything is designed like that. He never allows temptation to become too much for me. He doesn't allow my wealth to become too much for me. He doesn't allow anything, the pressure of circumstances, nothing to become too much for me, because He's got a goal. And He's the controller of the whole world, and He's got that goal to make me like Jesus. But it's not automatic. I mean, if it were like the planets, then I would be in perfect obedience. Thousands of years they've obeyed. But this is where these many, many exhortations come through in the New Testament. And in order to help us to obey these exhortations, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, I've said that many times from 2 Corinthians 3:18, is to show you the glory of Jesus and to make you like that.